Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy, and we'll begin reading from chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Thou therefore, my son," this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Think of that, the things that he had heard from Paul. Praise God. So once again, let's follow this and the exactness of the words and the intent of what's being spoken here. That dispensation that was given to Paul, that wonderful mystery of Christ Jesus, the bride, the church. We thank God. We just believe him for these things. But he says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now going over to chapter 4, let's begin reading from verse 2. It says, there's Paul now just getting even more unction of the Spirit to Timothy. "Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." He's telling this to us, but he's telling this to Timothy. That's how quickly this unbelief, all these things are going to begin to attack. God's not going to leave us unaware. He's making us fully aware of this hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ we are going to face. But he says here, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I love the Holy Ghost in the Apostle Paul. Paul, in his passion that only Christ could give, warning about those that will fall away from sound doctrine. Christians who for a time, see, for you to fall away from it, you had to have it. It had to be there for you. You understand that. You were met with it. We understand this throughout the Word of God many different ways. One of the most sad pleas, the pleadings of the Lord is there to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, where it says, "But there's one thing I have against you. You've left your first love." And Christians for a time who've heard the whole counsel of God, and but for the grace of God, that would be us too, but they turn away. And it tells us here why they turn away. And it's right there in verse 3. It's their own lusts. It's their lusts. It's their own feeling. It would be their own experiences of life were a greater love to them than the bridal message being their first love. That is the truth. I guess in a nutshell, you could put it this way. When we are the first love of our lives, we're in trouble. When we are the first love of our life, we're in serious trouble. One of the most grievous things I can testify to are brethren that somehow think that they're so unique that the Word of God does not apply to them. And I mean this for ones that know the gospel. They know the gospel. They know this truth. But yet, somehow the Word of God doesn't pertain to them. and they can entertain other winds of doctrine. Brothers and sisters, we need to really be aware and careful of what we hear. Amen. That enemy is very subtle devil. He's a very subtle devil. And all he wants to get in there is a little leaven. And that little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It'll throw it off. I was listening, sweet Vic sent me something to listen to, one of Brother Hill's psalm studies. And sweet to hear the different things, but the one thing that caught my heart was, remember when he'd talk about the plumb line? Everything had to be on that plumb line. That plumb line was the very center of everything, and everything was built from that. Everything aligned from that plumb line. And if it didn't measure up to the plumb line, it was going to be out of whack. Paul's gospel is the plumb line. As the word of God has told us, and he's told us, he's the master builder. And we need to be aware and careful how we build thereupon. Building to the plumb line. Praise God. It's all there. This is not hard. If we'll just be still and know that he's God. But somehow we can get to think that, well, the word of God doesn't apply to me, so I'll just entertain all these different winds of doctrine. Or it could be that there's no need to always gather with like precious saints when I have the opportunity to. Or you certainly don't need a preacher or a teacher or a pastor of Paul's gospel. I can be in the bride of Christ my way. And that is truth. No way. It'll never be my way. It's his way. And his way is one way, and that's the word of God. That's it. There's no other way. There's no other way. He is the way. He's the truth and he's the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And I thank the Lord that that goes on even in more splendor and wonder as we grow up in him in all things. That we understand that Father is seeking such that worship him in spirit and in truth. He sold all that he had. I love that merchant man to have that goodly pearl. And it's that exact, that mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Who is the one that the Lord chose to write that? The Apostle Paul. Thank you, Lord. The apostle to the Gentiles. The chosen vessel unto Christ. The chief of sinners. To show us the way to the most magnificent work of grace. Praise your Lord. What does the Apostle Paul say? Let's read here, and we're staying in 2 Timothy here tonight. Let's go over to chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. He says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." Paul here again, sound words, sound doctrine. I love that word sound. It means perfect health. It means whole, whole. Think of the Apostle Paul. He said, I've withheld not a thing. As it was said of the Apostle Paul, and he spoke of it. He said, that mystery given to me, remember there in Colossians chapter 1? Turn on over there. Let's just go there and read that so beautifully. Was that verse 25? He says, that's Colossians 1:20, when verse 25, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, to complete the word of God." Do you understand? That's sound doctrine. Those are sound words. That's Paul's gospel. It's the whole counsel It's the whole health. I thank the Lord that, you know, you think about how the bridegroom just got overwhelmed with the Shulamite. And there in the Song of Solomon, he just kept going over and over, talking about her beauty. I mean, everything about her, you know, she didn't feel very pretty, but I'll tell you what, she was perfect to him. And he just sat there and doted on her and talked about her countenance and the shine and the glow and everything about her body and her face and her lips and her eyes. She was whole, completely, perfectly healthy because of the grace, all the word of his grace. So, Paul speaks of this, and isn't this interesting where he says, all in Asia have left me, forsaken me? Let's be reminded that in Asia were all the church, those were the churches. The churches were in Asia. Those churches included the church of Philadelphia and Smyrna. Did you know that? Those ones were there. They were part of that all in Asia at that time. These churches were on fire, but they fell away from it and noticed how fast they fell away from it. It didn't take a lot of time. It was quick. They left the sound words of Paul's gospel. Going over to chapter 2 here in 2 Timothy 2 and look at verse 7. What does Paul say? He says, consider what I say. Praise the Lord. He was confident in the truth and that whole counsel that was given to him. He wasn't confident in himself, but he said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in some things, in all things. Isn't that beautiful? You want understanding in all things, you better consider what the Apostle Paul said. Isn't that wonderful? I want understanding in all things. I don't want to be confused. I don't want to be tossed around with what? Every wind of doctrine. Wind of doctrine. Winds of doctrine. The making of books. There'll be no end. There'll be heaps of teachers. They're all right there and readied. And I thank God for however Christ is preached. Don't get me wrong. I thank the Lord for those that profess the name of Jesus. But we're talking about the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a most narrow way of faith and love. Paul came out, he said, preach no other gospel. There is no other gospel. Because when God gives you the whole counsel, that's it. Take it. By the grace of God, I've given you everything of God. I've given you the very heart of my son. All those things that those prophets of old, they wrote about that they wanted to look into. They knew there was something mighty in there. The sons of men, they wanted to see that, but it wasn't meant for them. It was meant for us. And here we are, so privileged and graced. And we hear these things, because he that hath an ear, let him hear, and his sheep know his voice. And these have been preached over and over and taught over and over and over. And by the grace of God, I can tell you we're without excuse. We know this. We know this. But they left the sound words of Paul's gospel. Without Paul's gospel, you will not have a full understanding in all things. It's impossible. And it's impossible because the word of God says this is the way to it. So if it's contrary to the word of God, it will not work. If it's opposed to what the word of God says, then it's a fable. It's the truth. It's the truth. A few verses down in this same chapter, Paul tells us what his full understanding is. Paul is the one, praise God, there in verse 10 of that second chapter, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Oh, I love that. The elect's sake. I mean, you know, we get into the Bible study, but that's the Son and kingly glory's sake. That's what that means. That's who we are by the grace of God. That's that elect's sake. That they may also obtain salvation, which is in Jesus Christ, with eternal glory. That's what Paul's all understanding is. It's not just salvation. It's salvation with eternal glory. It's like not just heirs of God, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him. And isn't it amazing that right after he tells you about this salvation with eternal glory, what does he bring up again? Right there in verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Amen. He's not going to tell you differently one place than the other. It's consistent. The word of God is so preciously and wonderfully consistent. We'll get into why here in a second too. Now, and then he goes on. And Paul describes in detail what is so deadly to those who have this high calling message. And he warns us. And he warns us right there in verse 14. He said, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. Don't be striving about words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers. Words of no profit. That means unfit conversation. Words that are useless. Verse 16 tells you exactly what it is. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Listen to this. Shun profane and vain babblings. That means an empty discussion. Because why? Because you know what empty discussions will do? They'll just promote what? More ungodliness. When I'm bringing up empty conversations, when I know the truth, I'm not promoting godliness. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we know the truth. And I have to say, I am thankful beyond with you, because I know by the grace of God we are. For ones like Brother Copley and ones like Sister Bodie, that compelled by the Holy Ghost, wrote those study books and tracts. Encouraged of the Lord to write these things down. I thank God it's all there. I appreciated so much the boldness that Brother John Hill would have. If all you had was the tracts on that rack out there, if you read them all and really believed it, you'd win Christ best. Just the tracts. And it's true. But I thank God we didn't stop at the tracts. Got on them tracks and went on, you know. And I mean, the study books and all these different things. And I want you to understand this. Brother Copley and Sister Bodie were not perfect people. They weren't humans. They even said, even in their writings, there was a few opinions that were hurtful. And yes, there were. And they were not useful. Thanks be to God, there wasn't a whole lot of that. But I'm going to make this statement. Don't let someone's momentary lapse of ignorance be your excuse why you are turning to another gospel. Amen. Don't ever do that. Or somehow removing yourself from the fullness of it Because I'm going to tell you something, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. And by the grace of God, when the devil tries to give you an excuse, don't look at that excuse. What did it say as we started? Good soldiers war. It's not a lotus land of ease. It's not going to be a layup to win Christ's best. It's enduring hardness. And hurtful things come up. And hurtful things come up from God's precious people. I mean, we've been studying for Joseph for how many weeks now? His own family, the family of God, attacked him more than anybody ever attacked that kid in his life. Hurt him more than any of those that even threw him into the prison. It was his family. That's why he wept. Don't read about him weeping in prison. I'm sure he did at times. But boy, when he saw his family, it just broke his heart. I love them. I always love them. I always love them. But I love the truth more. But I love the truth more. When you cease to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, it slips. It won't be there. It won't. Not to you like it was. He never moves, but you've moved. And it slips away. Why do I say that with such confidence? Because the Word of God tells you that. You give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. Heard. I'm not looking to hear new things. I've heard it all from him. I just want to hear him. It's got to line up with the plumb line. There are going to be a lot of things chatter back and forth and all that, but it's real simple. If it doesn't vertically line up with that plumb line, get it out of here. Get it out of here. And it's a vain, empty discussion. Now, when you allow yourself to hear other winds of doctrine, what's going to happen is you're going to question the gospel that you know. And that's the truth. Oh, I like this because this is a great speaker, or I like this. You know, they just write so well. I'm glad that you can be encouraged. But you better be really glad to be encouraged in the whole counsel of God. I remember telling a young man that I knew so loved the truth, and I know he did. And I remember he asked me a question about studying language and things to possibly understand the Word of God a little bit more and things of that nature. I said, if you think that studying a language is going to give you more knowledge of understanding the Word of God, it'll never do that. You're wrong. That enlightenment, it all comes by the Spirit. But if the Lord is encouraging you to know something, that you'll, under the hand of God, staying with the truth, that he could utilize that, by all means. But if you think that somehow that's a key into more revelation of the Word of God, your knowledge, you're going right down a rat hole. When we have sincere questions, and we all do, a sincere question will be to know the Word of God more perfectly. That was Apollos. He knew the Word of God, but he was shown a way more perfectly. Amen? So he had the truth, but honey, here we're gonna see the Word of God even more perfectly, more fully, more in the whole. We're gonna introduce you to Paul's gospel. Isn't that marvelous? That doesn't mean to question what we know. I know the enemy will always get us to do that once in a while. Fight against that. My Father said it, and it's so. That's it. That's it. You know the original. You know the authentic, the real thing. Don't entertain counterfeit. Don't do that. Christ showed us with the devil himself. The Spirit led our Lord out into that wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And how did the devil try to tempt him? With the Word of God. Taking bits and pieces, twisting them, and taking them out of context. And the Lord always defeated it. It is written. It is written. And it is written. When we know the truth and give heed to false doctrine, and then we bring up the same profane babblings, these empty discussions, as a parent, I can say this. That's what children do. I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm your father. And I don't need to tell you again. I don't need you to ask me over and over when I've told you the truth. I'm your father. I love you. This is it. And when you keep asking me something that I've already told you was the truth, you see the grind? You're grinding against it. Kings don't act that way. Mature sons want to honor and be strong in faith and not question the Father's word. We battle in faith. Don't get me wrong. I know we'll face things that sometimes can hit us real hard. But I'm talking about the word of the Lord. I'm talking about rightfully divided truth. I'm talking about sound doctrine. Verse 15. Here's our answer. Instead of questioning, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Isn't that beautiful? And you take this in context where all this is coming. You don't just pull this right out of the word of God. Think of it in the context of the whole. Who is speaking all of this? It's Paul. What is Paul referring to? The gospel given to Paul. What has Paul said throughout all of his writings about what was given to him? It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What was given to me fulfills and completes the word of God. What was given to me unlocks all of the mystery and all of those hidden things that those prophets of old wrote in all of those wonderful Old Testament books of the Bible. Now you'll be able to see every single thing in there and you'll have all understanding. Study to show thyself approved unto that. Not go studying down rabbit holes and winds of doctrine. And I heard something. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we're the sons of the living God. We have grown up, praise God, in this wondrous whole counsel gospel. And tonight we come in and, praise God, we encourage one another in who we are, the elect of God, and what we know. And it's through that knowledge of growing in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm proud of it. I'm thankful for that grace that gave this to us. And I thank the Lord, it's for all men. Not just to be saved, but to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And he that wills to know will know it. appreciated that sweet sister. You know it, don't you, honey? He that wills to know will know it. Without Paul's gospel, you cannot see the gospel in its entirety. It's impossible. You can't see it in its completion. We just read, he was given the message, the word of God that fulfills it. It completes it. Without that, you will never see it. It opens up all the hidden things. I thank God in that gospel, there's no holes. It's seamless. It's one. But without Paul's gospel, there will always be holes and gaps and questions. It won't be on the plumb line. You build a house, it looked pretty, but my goodness, you get to the second floor and you just fell over because it was like this. And it's the truth. We need to be aware and careful how we build upon. A little leaven. A little. Leaven's a whole lump. Little foxes. They spoil the vine. Little. Little things. I know he protects me. And I know I need to really call out to him always. Because as we started today, or tonight I should say, I'll go this way if I go in the lusts of my flesh. If I'm going to go off on my feelings. If I'm going to go off into my way. That's a no way. And I'll tell you something. His way, you're going to be fought. It's amazing when you go in my way. The enemy has a way of, oh, all those greeters for your way. Oh, yeah. You better be seeking out people of mutual faith. Not of mutual bitterness or mutual anger or mutual experiences. You need to seek out people of Paul's gospel mutual faith. Going into other winds, brothers and sisters, is an evidence of an act that you've left your first love. We'll finish up. Let's go on over to Revelation 2:4. That marvelous church, that beautiful encouragement. Begin reading from verse 2, chapter 2 of Revelation. The church of Ephesus. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars. Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Because thou hast left thy first love, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. That leaving your first love is a divorce. That's what that means. There's something about the voice of your first love. There's the voice of him, the beloved. And he's made you that sheep that hears him. Isn't that something? And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. But brothers and sisters, where it says, remember where thou art fallen, that means you've driven off course. Literally, off course. Paying attention to anything else. But the truth. And what happens when we begin to hear the winds of doctrine and go after those things. When we begin to entertain these things that we've read tonight, these profane and vain babblings, entering into discussions that are just empty, we need to be very aware. Because if we continue on that way, it won't be long and there'll be a shipwreck of faith. And you can think, well, that won't happen to me. I'll assure you it will happen to you. Amen. If you're going into things that Paul is warning and making very plain, stay away from it. Amen. There's going to be temptation. Shoot. God's got a number one tempter. He's known as Satan. Does all that stuff. But the beautiful thing is as we yield and look to him and that tempter comes, we have those victories just as Christ. It is written. It is written. It is written. And that old tempter, he don't like to hang around very long when he's losing like that. By the grace of God, let's just continue to settle down in marriage. You know, married to the Lamb is a wonderful thing. Most beautiful thing, matter of fact. And just rest. And thank God and truly thank the Lord in his word. There is no other gospel. There's no other gospel. And I can say that with absolute confidence because the Bible tells me so. The perfecting, the completing doctrine, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, our joy and rejoicing is in one place. And that, praise God, is in Paul's gospel. In Paul's gospel. And it is in nothing else. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful. Thankful for him. I'm thankful for the boldness that by the grace of God was passed from Brother Paul to sweet Timothy and to those faithful men and women that would stay with the stuff. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.